We were looking yesterday at the Christmas story, and specifically from the book of Luke, and specifically at the contrast of the response that we see when Gabriel comes. He has the two different annunciations or pronunciations of good news. First of all is to Zacharias, or Zechariah, as he's sometimes referred to. It depends on the version that you're reading. And then he also gives the announcement to Mary about the birth of Jesus Christ. And we were looking at it yesterday, and just looking how there's two different versions, two different responses. It's the same message, basically. I mean, the content is different, but the attitude that it's good news, that this is something to be joyful about. This is an answer for Zechariah, to his prayers. For Mary, it's an answer to the prayers of people for generations. And it's interesting to see the differences, and we can learn so much from the differences in the responses from Zechariah and from Mary. So that's where we're at yesterday. And the story is found in Luke chapter 1. It starts in verse 5 and really goes to the better portion of chapter 1. Which is too long for me to read here today. So as you're having your Christmas time, make sure that as you're in the Christmas story, read that story as well, all the way through Luke chapter 1. I'm going to continue on, though, as we look at just the two different responses. So Gabriel comes, and he gives the word to both. So Mary also received from Gabriel, and let me just look at what Mary's response was as Gabriel came. So Gabriel comes, and the words that she received from Gabriel were designed to be a comfort to her. And that's the thing you see with both Zechariah, and you also see with Mary, that while there was initial fear in both cases, there was also the first words right after that fear, the first words from Gabriel, words of peace and words of encouragement. And this is what the archangel says in verse number 28 to Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Hail, O favored one, endued with grace." These are good words. "Endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed favor of God are you amongst all women." Here's a wonderful observation that we continually are given words of joy and peace like this. And we talked about this yesterday. We got a much better delivery system than Mary or Zechariah had. You look throughout the entirety of the Old Testament. There's not that many times that angels came and spoke to men. There's not that many times that that took place. Certainly that gets your attention when it does, as we can see by the response of both Mary and Zechariah. But it just didn't happen that often. But now, since Jesus came, since Jesus lived, since he died, since he rose again, he said he did all that, and it wasn't until he left again that the Comforter would come. So now we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us on a daily basis. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit every single day if we're attuned to it and listening. And there's always words of joy and always words of peace. Those are at our fingertips, at our advantage, in our soul every day, if that's what we'd want. But we look at it here, and these are the words that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary. So we have that same promise of the word. We have that same promise of peace and anticipation of good things coming our way, just as Zechariah and Mary should have had. Now the question is, what's our reaction to that supernatural promises that God has spoken to us in both the Word of God that we have and through the Holy Spirit that speaks to us? Because too many times our reaction is not like Mary, but instead it's like Zechariah was. It's filled with doubt, it's filled with uncertainty, and it's filled with the words in response that are words of doubt and demonstrate lack of faith. Now both Zechariah and Mary start with similar situations and initial similar reactions. They have a visitation unlike any that's been experienced in like 400 years, a visitation that endued fear in both of them, but was quickly alleviated by the words of peace and the words of good news that the angel spoke when he appeared to them. Now, you and I face this exact same situation in our lives. We are confronted with circumstances that initially might cause us some fear and uncertainty, but we also have the promise of good news. It comes to us through the Word of God and through the completion of the Word and the fulfillment of the law and all the promise for all the good things. Again, we've got a better situation and a better promise and a better word given to us than Zechariah or Mary had. Too often, though, our response is fear and doubt, just like we see with Zechariah. Our word, our good news, has that superior delivery system in that we have the Word and we have the Holy Spirit as well. Now let's examine Zechariah's response first. After Gabriel's pronouncement of glad tidings and joy, the priest's response was, "But what shall I know and be sure of this? for I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. Now think about this. Zechariah had an angel come and give him a word to bless him. And his response was basically to say, okay, great, I got an angel of God standing in front of me, but what kind of sign am I going to receive to prove what you're telling me right now? The miraculous sign of an angel appearing was not enough for Zechariah. He had to have more. Now, in fairness, we can empathize with where he was at with his thinking. He and Elizabeth were both beyond the normal time of childbearing years. And I'm sure that they both experienced a lot of occasions of past hope and past excitement that was then followed by disappointment and melted into discouragement. As each year passed with hope unfulfilled, the disappointment would have to grow. And certainly Zechariah, being a man who loved his wife, did not want to disappoint her once again. So you can kind of understand from a natural perspective why that was his response. But this is the thing we have to learn, and this is the thing we have to kind of key in on so that we don't make the same mistakes that Zechariah did. Yes, you can empathize and understand why Zechariah responded the way he did. But the response that he did led to the results that he didn't want. It led to it led to him not being able to speak for all the months. I mean, there was a loss that he suffered because he didn't just believe. Yes, we understand in the natural why, but this is why we have to elevate our own expectations. And this is why we have to elevate our own responses and the expectation of how we will respond to the promises of God. It's understandable why we have a natural response, but we need to expect and want more than a natural response. Our desire should be that we rise up and that we say in any given situation, no matter what it is we might be faced with, because I guarantee you can just look in the Word of God and God's got promises for you. But we have the better delivery system for those promises because the Holy Spirit is speaking words of encouragement to us, words of strength, words of truth, and words of life, speaking to our very spirits every single day if we will train ourselves to listen. We need to have a different sense of expectation than Zechariah had. We need to expect more than just a natural response. Because when we get the natural response, when our natural response is to doubt, is to speak words of doubt, is to turn away and not really expect that what was said, spoken, or read in the Word is going to come to pass, you know, we're going to lose those blessings. We have to have a different level of expectation. And that's the thing that we're looking at with Zechariah. And that's the great lesson out of all this, to learn from Zechariah and his response. The miraculous sign of an angel wasn't enough. He had to have more. Yet it's certainly also understandable why he would be cautious to believe. However, even if we can relate to his feelings, we must learn from those things and not repeat those mistakes in our lives. Not allow our hearts to grow calloused like he did over a lifetime. And this can happen to us. Over a lifetime, if we have disappointments because we're acting in the natural and not in the spiritual or the supernatural, we can become calloused. We can become so filled with doubt that we have no expectation. And certainly he became calloused over all these years. You know, the longer that we live in the Word of God and don't experience the truths and the realities of the Word in our life, the longer we experience that, the more we become hardened against believing and faith. We need to change our level of expectation and change our responses, so that we respond in faith, saying, I believe the Word. I believe the Word. Speaking the Word and believing the Word and not believing the situation or the circumstances as Zechariah did. Otherwise, we're going to suffer the same results that he endured. Listen to the response, his reaction evoked from Gabriel. Because Gabriel is representing God. He is speaking for God. And so the same thing is the attitude towards us. When God speaks a word to us, or we read his word and know the promises and don't stand on them in our lives, it's the same disappointment. These are the words of Gabriel to the doubting words of Zechariah after he said, okay, great, I heard that word. Now, what are you going to do to prove it to me? And the angel replied to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and I've been sent to talk to you and to bring you this good news. Gabriel is saying, hey, look, I just came from the very face of God with this message and a promise of good news, not bad news, good news, just for you and your wife in answer to your prayers. You need no further evidence or signs to act upon the word that I've given you. That's the key. We don't need any further signs or evidence than the Word of God. You have in front of you what is greater. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 talks about this. There's nothing more powerful that we have than the Word of God. The Word of God that we have is even more sound, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. The Word of God is more sound than even if Gabriel stands in front of you and says, this is what God said. The Word of God is more sure and more certain than an angel and the archangel standing in front of you saying, here's what God said. That's the degree of certainty that we can have in the promises of the Word of God. Zechariah failed to do so. We're given a promise for whatever circumstance we might be dealing with directly from His Word. Yet even with this, we still don't believe and we still don't stand. And then we put ourselves in the same place as Zechariah. We want something more. We want something else. We want something in addition to it. We want further proof and further evidence. So how are we then different than Zechariah in our daily response to the promises that God has for us? Now, let's examine how Mary, we'll start on this and we'll finish this up tomorrow. Let's examine how Mary handled the same situation just a few verses later. Gabriel spoke words of peace to her as well. And then he proclaimed the blessing on her as he had done on Zechariah. In fact, the word that he gave to Mary would have been even harder to understand and believe than the word that he had given to Zechariah. Okay, Zechariah's would be hard to understand and hard to believe, but imagine Mary. And what she had, she's told that she's going to have a seed planted in her that will be the savior of all mankind. Essentially, she's being told that God himself is becoming flesh and will be born to her. Okay, that's got to be a pretty monumental mental leap to understand, to understand it, let alone to believe it. And then think about all that she would have to endure as well, knowing that people wouldn't believe. They'd find her pregnant without having yet been married. So Gabriel spoke words of peace to her, and then he proclaimed that blessing, as he had done to Zechariah. And she's told that the Redeemer, the hope of the world, the past, present, future generation's hope, would be birthed in her supernaturally. Something that's never been done before in human history, and never would again. Now, that's going to be difficult to comprehend and to accept. As Zechariah asked a question, so does Mary. Zechariah asked a question, but Mary asked a question as well. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I have no intimacy with a man as a husband? Yet we see a different consequence for Mary than we saw from Zechariah. Compare the two diametrically opposed reactions from Gabriel to the two separate queries by Zechariah and then by Mary. To Zechariah, Gabriel said, now behold, you will be and continue to be silent and not be able to speak till the day when these things take place, because you have not believed what I told you, but my words are of a kind which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time. Zechariah is then rendered mute for the next 9 months. To Mary's question, Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless one, the offspring, which shall be born unto you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son that is now in the sixth month with her, who has been called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Wow, what an amazing difference between those two responses. We're going to look at the reason why. We saw Gabriel come. He speaks to both Zechariah and Mary. They both are fearful. They both then get words of peace. And then you look at the response. They both get a promise given, and look at the response between Zechariah's and between Mary's. And they both ask questions, but the response of Gabriel to both of them is different. And we'll look at the reason why, because it pertains to you and I and our responses as well. We'll look at that tomorrow.